significant happened. And that's what we're going to look at today. There had to be a vehicle. There had to be a channel into the earth for the Messiah to come. And God chooses to use people. I'm so glad he did. He chooses to use people. And he chose a young maiden, and she was the chosen vessel for a one and only assignment that happened. And that is to be the mother of the Messiah. I want to read today in Luke chapter 1, verse 26. This is, you know, normally if you read the Christmas story, shall come to pass. It came to pass in those days there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And, you know, that's, we call that the Christmas story. But in Luke 1:26, there's something that I think that is significant as we are in the Christmas experience. And that's the series that we're doing, a two-part series, the Christmas experience. There's this story that's right in the middle of this that, you know, if you just read it through religious eyes, you just kind of a surface reading, you miss some real great things. I call it you miss some meat. There's things in here that we can learn, not only about God, we can learn about ourselves, we can learn how good God is. But there's this story. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And I do believe that she was a virgin. I don't know how many of you watched some of the A&E, the Bible Secrets Reveal. That's the biggest crock of stuff I've ever... When they're talking about that she wasn't necessarily a virgin, she was just a young girl. In fact, I refuse to watch it. But anyway, a virgin. Everybody say virgin.
Virgin.
Oh, yes. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that the Holy One is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relation, has conceived a son in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, now look at this, because we're going to come back to this. "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I want us to look back at some of the setting here, and we're going to talk about this. First of all, Gabriel. Gabriel is one of the archangels. There were three, probably, according to Bible scholars. There was Lucifer, who fell. There was Michael, who is the war angel. And then there is Gabriel, who brings significant messages into the earth to mankind. So this was Gabriel, the messenger. And he comes into Nazareth. Which Nazareth, we went to Nazareth when we were in Israel. Don't really care if I ever go back to Nazareth. It was not a very significant place. It really wasn't. It wasn't a very impressive place at all. But it's a place where God chose to do a work. In fact, the Bible, some of the prophets said, has anything good come from Nazareth? And we're going to answer that and say, yes, something good has come from Nazareth. Well, Nazareth is this small town of insignificance, and it is on the northeast side of the Valley of Jezreel. And on the southwest side of the Valley of Jezreel is a place called Megiddo. And we went there also. And it was a pretty neat place. But in that Valley of Jezreel, in the future, Bible scholars think that is the place where the Battle of Armageddon will take place. I think it's significant here as we see that the Messiah was conceived in Nazareth. Now, he was born in Bethlehem, but he was conceived in Nazareth, and it's not far from the place where he was the baby Jesus. We're going to see him come back as the conquering king, as he defeats the armies of the Antichrist. Now let me tell you something in case you didn't know. The Antichrist will not be successful in his mission. You know, a lot of people, oh, the Antichrist, ooh. You know, take a mark, cut your head off, won't be able to buy or sell. He's going to be bad, going to take over the world, going to rule. No. Jesus is going to defeat him. But he came. He came to a very humble place. And that's the way God works in so many times. You know, God doesn't choose the mighty and the wise and the strong. God's way is usually to choose very humble, insignificant people. And you know what? I think we all qualify for that. You know, people think they're important. I've seen guys who think they are God's gift to the body of Christ. They don't usually last very long. They're usually a flash in the pan. But God chooses the humble. God chooses the ones that are available. God's not looking for a perfect one. So that brings us to Mary. Now, why did he choose Mary? Well, let me say why he didn't choose Mary. See, there was nothing special about Mary. And I don't want to dishonor Mary because, you know, we need to hold her in high esteem. She is the mother of God, okay? But she wasn't chosen because she was perfect. She too was the seed of Adam, just like you and I are. She too was the seed of Adam. She wasn't perfect in all of her ways. No person has ever been perfect except one, and that was her son. So she wasn't chosen for her perfection. And I say that to say this, neither are you chosen because you're perfect. You're just not. You're not perfect. I know that's a revelation to a couple of you here, but you're not perfect. Look at your neighbor and say, he's talking about you now. Yeah, you're not perfect. I'm not perfect. And Mary wasn't perfect. She was honorable. She was a lot of things, but perfection was not one of it. You know the song, Mary, Did You Know? And I love that line. It says that the son that you delivered would someday deliver you. That's so true. That she was the vehicle of God into the earth. She delivered him, you know, from the womb. And then he turns around 30-something years later when he dies on the cross. He delivered mankind, including Mary. So she wasn't chosen because she was perfect. She was pure, but she wasn't perfect. So as we take a look at this, I want us to look at some reasons maybe why God chose her. The first reason, and some of this she had nothing to do with, and some of it she did have something to do with. And we're going to make a parallel in a few minutes because I want to talk about you. I want to talk about the favor of God in your life. But as we look at Mary, first of all, she was of the proper lineage. One of the things that God did for over 4,000 years, he raised up prophets and he sent promises into the earth. And he began to talk about, remember in the Garden of Eden, that the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. That's where it began. And there are other ones, you know, that were prophets that spoke the word of God into the earth. And so one of those that he would be of the line of David. Well, she was of the lineage of David. Number two, she was engaged to a man that was of the lineage of David. Now, there's two genealogies in the Gospels. One of them is Mary's and the other is Joseph. Mary's lineage comes through David's son Nathan. And Joseph's lineage comes through David's son Solomon. So both of them are of the lineage of David. So she was engaged, or as the scripture says, betrothed to them. And that just means engaged. Another thing was that she was from Nazareth. And that's significant because the prophets prophesied about that he would be a Nazarene. So all of these things lined up. And this is one of the reasons that she was chosen. And really, she didn't have a whole lot to do with that. She didn't. She didn't control who her mom and daddy was. She didn't control her lineage. But there's some things that she did. Maybe the engagement to Joseph, she had something to say in. But this next thing, she had a whole lot to say about because she was a virgin. She was a virgin. Isaiah chapter 7 verse 14. The one of the prophetic scriptures says, "Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel," which means God with us. Now she had something to say about that. She chose to be that. And because that is one of the reasons that God was able to choose her is because that she was a virgin. Everything lined up and God chose her to be the one. He called her highly favored one. And that's so neat. There's some other things that we could say about Mary that are good. Number one, she was submissive to the purpose of God. It's important that she chose. And, you know, that's one of the things that God gave Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They could choose to accept or reject. And we know that Eve was deceived and Adam rejected God and rejected his way. So she had the ability to choose. She could take this plan or she could reject this plan. And she chose to be submissive to the purpose of God. God did not overwhelm her will. But he came to her through the angel and told her these things. And she says, "Be it unto me even as your word." Number two, she was shaped by life's experiences for her assignment. Now, as I said a while ago, there are some things that she had no control over. Her lineage, her parents, she had some control over who she was going to marry. She had control over where she was a virgin or not. But she was shaped by life's experiences for this deal. Because let me say some things to you, because we're going to get into this in a minute. Because a lot of people, maybe a lot of you have had some bad things happen in your life. And let me tell you that God did not do any of those bad things to you. God is not the author of killing and stealing and destroying. Jesus said in John 10:10, you know, John 10:10 is the dividing scripture where we can understand what's of God and what's not of God. Jesus says the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill and destroy. Jesus says, "I am come that you might have life and life more abundantly." So the bad things that happen in life usually are things that have happened to us because of the enemy or things that we have chosen. But I want you to know that even though the enemy means it for your destruction, God can take that situation, he can turn it around, and he can use that to shape you for the purpose that he's ordained you for. That's good stuff. We don't outmaneuver God. He's too sharp. We're too dumb. Glory, glory. The third thing is that she was surprised by this grace. She was surprised by this favor. She didn't think she was all that. She was not a prideful person. And she was overwhelmed when the angel told her this message. First of all, because she was chosen to be this. She was not seeking that. That's not what she was reaching out for. She was not seeking to be the mother of God. She wanted to be the wife of Joseph and to have his children. She didn't have that in mind. And when this grace came, she was overwhelmed, she was shocked, and she was stunned by this grace of God. And you know, the one thing that we can see about our lives, you know, I didn't want to be a pastor. I didn't. I wanted to be a lot of things. In fact, I didn't have a clue what I really wanted to be, because I was going to be a butcher. I was going to be a coach. I was going to be a tool and die guy. I had a lot of things when I was in high school. I was accepted at Votech in tool and die school. It just didn't fit. It didn't fit me. And it wasn't until I surrendered to what God's plan for my life was that I became content and happy. And so a lot of times the things that God calls us to do, when that comes, we're kind of overwhelmed, just like Mary was, that God would choose us to do something like this. And then the next thing is that she sought to understand this assignment. She didn't understand how God was going to do this. And you know what? It was okay that she asked questions. I think Christians ought to ask questions. I think you ought to question God sometimes. I really do. I think you ought to ask God questions. God doesn't mind if you ask him questions. Mary asked this question. Well, how can this be, seeing that I've never been intimate with a man? I'm a virgin. You'd think those Bible scholars that they were saying that she was just a young maiden could read the New Testament and see where she, out of her own mouth she said that she was a virgin. Well, anyway, duh. Excuse me for ranting. I get amazed at scholars sometimes. But anyway, she sought to understand what her assignment was and how God was going to do it. And when he told her, you know what she did? She submitted to the word. She submitted to the word. Now that's important that we see that. She says, be it unto me according to your word. Be it unto me according to your word. And here's the next thing. The word she received by faith produced the miracle. I want to say that again. When she received the word of God by faith, it produced the miracle in her womb. Let me show you something, how God works. Now, track with me on this. Go back to Genesis. Go back to creation. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. See, what are we seeing here? We're seeing God, and we're seeing the Holy Spirit hovering over the face of the waters. And then the next thing we see, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. How did God create? The Father conceived it. The Word goes forth, which is the Son. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Okay? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. He's called the Word of God. So God speaks the Word. What's the Holy Spirit hovering? He's waiting for the Word of God to go forth. And when the Word of God goes forth, guess what? The Holy Spirit takes that, takes the image of that Word, and he produces it in the earth. Light be, light was. When Mary received the word of God, the angel left. His job was done. But you know what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit is coming in. And the Holy Spirit is going to overshadow her. And by that word, he's going to produce in her womb the word. And that word will become flesh and dwell among us. Now, in John's, not the Gospel of John, but in John 1, 2, and 3, it talks about the word being a seed. And that Greek word there is the word sperma. which we get our word sperm. Now, how did Mary conceive? She received the word. She received the sperma. And that sperma, by the power of the Holy Spirit, produced the word in her womb. And that's how Jesus was conceived. Now, there's things that we need to look at, because there are parallels that we can draw here that has to do with us and how God works in our lives. So, I want to read a verse. This is found in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. This kind of proves my point. Paul says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Or we could say, "I'm not ashamed of the word of the gospel. For it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." See, how do you get saved? First of all, you have to hear the word. What happens when you hear the word? You either believe that word or you don't believe that word. And if you by faith receive that word of the gospel, you know what happens? The Holy Spirit, that word that goes into your heart, the Holy Spirit takes that word and makes you a new creature in Christ Jesus. "Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." You become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And that's how that happens. It's by the word of God, because the gospel is the power of God. It's not only the power of God unto salvation. That same word that you put in you on a daily basis gives the Holy Spirit something to quicken and the Holy Spirit something to work in your life on a daily basis on. That's why we encourage you to get in the Word and stay in the Word and put the Word first place and final authority in your life. Why? Because it is the power of God unto your wholeness, unto your perfection, under your sanctification. It is the word of God that will change you, that will renew your mind. So what can we learn from this story? Number one, that we too are favored by God. Now, Mary had a very, very special assignment that makes her in history and in Christendom a very, very precious person. A person that we ought to admire. But two, we'll say to a lesser degree, you too are highly favored by God. You'll never have the Son of God. Don't worry. There's only one incarnation, and that's Jesus Christ. And Mary had that assignment. But every one of us are highly favored of God. God, and let me give you another word for favor that works kind of interchangeably with that. It's called grace. You know what grace is? It's God's willingness to use His power on your behalf, even though you don't deserve it. It's unmerited favor. It's grace. So you're not favored because you're pure. Because you're not. You're not favored because you're perfect. Because you're not. You're not favored because you've done everything right. You haven't. You're not favored because you haven't had bad life's experience, because all of us have had bad life's experiences. But when God's favor comes on you, guess what? He turns it around and He makes it work, and He produces in us His heart and His desire in us. You're highly favored of God. Look at your neighbor and say, "You're highly favored." Come on. Look at your neighbor. Look the other way. Your other neighbor. You're highly favored. You are. You're highly favored of God. Number two, we too are shaped by life's experience for our assignment. See, it doesn't matter what you have done. It doesn't matter your circumstances, the things that you don't have any control over. It doesn't matter the things that you have had control over. Everything in our life, as we commit it to God, will shape us for our assignment. You say, "Well, I've been abused, or I've been raped, or I have raped, or I've done this, or I've done that." See, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Now we need to be forgiven for all of that, or we need to, we need some healing to go in our life. But God can take all of that stuff turn it around, and he can actually make that work in your favor. Because we are favored of God. There are some things that I cannot connect with people with because I've never been there and done that. I've never been drunk. I'm not bragging. I've done things that I'm ashamed of. But getting drunk is not one of them. I've never been on dope. I don't know what that feels like. I don't know what that's like. I don't know the mental processes that go on. But we've got people in this church that have been there and done that and overcome that. And God has worked in their lives. And now that's being turned around. And they can minister to people that I can't minister to. I've never been divorced. I don't want to be. I've seen what it does. Some of you have been divorced. But you know what? That's not the death nail in your coffin. Now, I don't want you to get divorced. Divorce is a sin. Period. But if you've been there and done that, you can help other people. If you've overcome that, you can help other people who are struggling where I don't have an affinity with that because I've never been there and done that. Now, there's people that I could speak into their lives because of things that I've experienced. But there's things that you have gone through, that you have overcome. Now that He's turned it around, and now it can fit right into the plan and purpose of God for your life. You need to rejoice in that. See, I've had people say to me, "says, you know what, I've sinned so much, I don't believe God can forgive me." And I said, "Well, have you ever killed anybody?" He said, "No." I said, "Well, King David did. He committed adultery. He did the bad stuff. What we call the bad stuff. He lusted. He committed adultery. He tried to cover it up. Had her husband killed. Tried to cover it up again. And God exposed his rear end. And you know what he did? He repented and acknowledged. He didn't make an excuse. He repented. And God later calls him a man after my own heart. Now, how could that be? And I say, have you done that? No, no. Well, then you haven't sinned too much. I don't know that you can out-sin the grace of God. I don't know that you can. Now, that doesn't mean everybody goes to heaven, okay? Understand, you got to accept Jesus as Lord. You got to ask him into your life. You got to repent of your sins. You got to do all of those things, but you can't be so bad that God can't redeem you. And that's good news. If we will allow it to happen, life's experience will shape us for God's purposes. Even though that God did not do those things to us, God didn't cause you to be raped. God didn't cause you to rape. But God can redeem you, your heart, from those things. Number three, God's grace exceeds our ability to perform our assignment. When God calls you to do something, he doesn't call you to do something that you can do in your own strength. I cannot pastor this church in my own strength. I'm not that sharp. I'm just not. Anything that God calls us to do is bigger than our ability. It's bigger than our vision. It's bigger than our scope. It's bigger than what we can accomplish. The thing that he called Mary to do, she could not do that without the supernatural power of God to cause it to come to pass. But listen, she was willing for it to happen. And you know what? When she accepted that word, submitting to God's work, will produce the miracle that it takes to bring our purposes to pass in our lives. See, Christianity is about submitting to the will of God. It's not about resisting God. You will never be happy resisting the will of God. See, you can resist God if you choose to. Now, I'm going to have to repent, Cindy. If you do, you're stupid. If you resist the will of God, you're not Cindy, but Cindy gets on to me when I say stupid. But listen, if you resist the will of God, you're just dumb. It's dumb to resist the will of God. You won't be happy outside the will of God. You need to submit to His will. When you do that, you know what He'll do? He'll work in your life and you'll be happier than you've ever been. And you may be going through some stuff. I'm not talking about a life of ease. Sometimes doing the will of God is hard. Sometimes you face things that are hard, but you will be more content in the will of God than you will be resisting the grace of God. So that's what we can learn about Mary and her story. Was she a great woman? Yes. Do we need to hold her in high esteem? Yes. But in many ways, she's just like us. She had to receive the word of God. She had to submit to the will of God. She had to do those things in order to become what God called her to be. You know what keeps us from submitting sometimes? Here's the biggest one. And here's the thing that she had to deal with. Because the angel said to her, do not be afraid. There are some of you that are sitting in this congregation right now that you have more fear than you have faith. And there's things that you will not do because of your fear. You may call it bad experience. You may call it social issues. You can call it anything that you want to. But when you boil it down, it comes up to the four-letter word. The F word. Fear. F-E-A-R. Fear. It is the opposite. It's the opposite of faith. Fear and faith do not work together. You cannot have fear in your heart and faith at the same time. She was afraid. The angel calmed her fear to the point that she could accept what he was saying. It was bigger than she was. The task is something that she couldn't do within herself. She didn't understand it. But as she began to understand, she says, be it unto me according to your word. The Holy Spirit came on her. She conceived the Son of God. Now, you're not going to conceive the Son of God, but listen, if you'll receive the Word of God, you will manifest the Son of God in your life. You can be like Jesus. You can be a Christian. See, not every person who says they're a Christian or Christ-like. God not only wants us to be saved, He wants us to become Christ-like. How do we do that? We have to receive the Word of God by faith. We have to allow that working of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And He does it the same way that Jesus was conceived in Mary's womb. Whew. Amen. Let's pray. I want to pray for you today. I've unloaded a basket load of stuff here today. Holy Spirit, thank you. Thank you for your work in our lives. Father God, thank you for loving us.